الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I must apologize coming late. Few moments ago, I just came in from a very lengthy journey. From some days ago, I had thought I would come yesterday, but Allah did not permit. And then today in the morning, Allah did not permit until shortly before Salatul Asr. I am very tired. But we did not say that we will not do a class. And I know many of our brothers will attend the class and the women. So we'll have to come to class. May Allah make this easy for us. We are supposed to discuss three issues today. The first is Ad'iyatul Istiftah, or Ad'iyatul Iftitah, the supplications with which we commence the Salah. Initially, the thinking was that we'll be able to give a more sequential discussion, as we are used to. I really doubt whether we can do that now. We can discuss the matter. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had ways with which he started the salah. Al Imam al Bukhari and Muslim reported a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that one day he went to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, because what he observed radiallahu anhu was that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe we just read that hadith. What Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu observed was that after making the takbiratul ihram and folding his arms, the Prophet would say something alayhi salatu wasalam. If you recall, in the last class we were saying that they used to look at him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are evidences that sometimes the eyes of the companions were looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not necessarily on the place where they would make sujood. What we became used to is that after the takbiratul ihram and folding our arms, our eyes must be looking on the ground. The eyes must be looking at the ground. Our chest is facing the Qibla, our face. All the brothers who meet me, they are complaining that our recordings are bad. I don't know why. And that noise is evidence that it is likely to be bad again. We must try to do these things well. Many people are depending on those of us who are around so that they could listen and make benefit from us. So we should do it well. You get a lot of rewards. But each time we come, it's either or kak, kak, kak. It's not a good thing to do. We try to do it well. May Allah make it easy for us. There is a man called Abu Layla al-Athari. This man, Abu Layla al-Athari, is supposed to be a student of Sheikh al-Albani, and he is. May Allah preserve him. I have not heard that he has died, and I have not had the opportunity to meet him. But I have met a lot of people who knew him, who were together with him, like Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Zuhairi in Medina, many times. And then Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman in Makkah and in Cairo, many times. They will tell you the man all he's interested in is whatever Sheikh al-Albani says, he wants to record it. So he recorded over 15,000 audios from Sheikh al-Albani. Over 15,000. Sheikh Samir showed me his own recording. They are not up to 2,000. But Abu Layla has 15,000 recordings from Sheikh Al-Albani. Wherever he heard that he was going, he went to record it. And he would say at the beginning of every recording that come up to Jiliha Abu Layla Al-Athari. The one who has recorded this audio is Abu Layla Al-Athari. He became known all over the world just for recording Al-Albani's audios. Rahimahullah. And sometimes, once you hear Abu Layla, you know that it's Sheikh Al-Albani talking. Sometimes when these people differ on what did Sheikh Al-Albani say on the matter, they will say, go and ask Abu Layla. He would have heard or recorded something from him. خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا. The best of deeds in the sight of Allah, those that are regular. 15,000 audios the man had. And then he started calling it Silsilatul Huda, one Nur. He became very popular. Some say they have more than 15,000. So the man was recording it. He made us to know many things we would not have known today. There are many things Sheikh Al-Albani perhaps wrote in books where he gave audio explanations. He had differences from what he wrote. He would say, I wrote this so time, but I now have a changed view. If Abu Layla did not record and record well, how would we have known? To return to our issue, let's mention one of such examples. In one of our last classes, we said the Imam said that, rahimahullah, that folding the arms is from the Sunan of Salah. Cool? That is the madhab of Jumhur. But that if we have some of those who say that it is obligation, then he will have that opinion. Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaij, he mentioned in his Al-Mawsu'at Al-Fiqhiyya that he went to ask Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah verbally, what is the ruling of folding the ham? He said, the Sheikh said, wajib. He did not hang it on, if you find somebody, he said, it's wajib now. His initial opinion was, it is mustahab. Although the evidence is not. The evidence shows wujub. But that if we find among the early Muslims who say that it is wajib, then I also agree, because the evidence indicates that. Because of tawarru', holding back from, you know, making a mistake, being sure you are not erring. So he hung the view upon if the earlier scholars had said that. He mentioned that in the afterlife of Salat al-Ali. We read it to us. And then later we came across the statement of Al-Imam Shawkan, who was insisting that it was wajib. And then Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopian, who also had the view of Shawkan that it was wajib. But when he was asked verbally, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Albani, I want, what is the ruling of this? He said it is wajib. He didn't say if anybody has that opinion. So this second statement takes precedence over what he wrote in the article of Sifat Salat al-Nabi. Because views are like that. You have one view today, you see some other things tomorrow, you change your view. You have one view today, you see some other things today, you change your view. Based on that, we return to our issue. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salim Bazmul, he has a juz. He called it juz on fihi hadithu al-musi'i salatihi. Juz on a small collection regarding a subject. Fihi hadithu. This small collection, this small book has the hadith of the one who erred in his salah. In this book, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salim Bazmul has a view that du'a ul istifta, we are back to our issue now. He says du'a ul istifta is wajib. Because in the hadith of the Muslim who prayed badly, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that the salah of the individual will not be correct until he does a number of things. He started counting the things. And one of the things he said is that Antahmadallah watumajidahu. You say praises of Allah and then you glorify him. And then he says, and then you recite, you make qira'atul Quran. This saying of the praises of Allah and glorify him is still the same dua al-istiftah. Dua al-istiftah, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, wa tabaraka smuk, wa ta'ala jadduk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. This is contained in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. And the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Kutub al-Sunan. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik wa tabaraka smuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. This Sheikh Bazmul, he had that view in that book that when the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam to demand that your salah will not be correct unless you make sana alallah or hamdallah, you make tahmid and tamjid of Allah, praising and glorifying him, he says it means that because it's an order from him to the man, and that he said that his salah will not be correct until he does that, he says it has a ruling of obligation. That it is obligatory to say dua al-istiftah. Dua al-istiftah, this Sheikh Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim Bazmul in his Juz on the hadith of Al-Musih Salatihi, he has the view that dua al-istiftah is wajib. But in his sharh of Sifat Salatul Nabi, he was insisting that dua al-istiftah is mustahab. So this is how ulama change views. Although I'm not able to determine which one he had first, because he mentioned in the Muqaddima of his Sheikh on Sifat Salatul Nabi that he had this juz. He had this book on the hadith of the one who prayed badly. So if he was writing in the Muqaddima of Sifat Salatul Nabi regarding this book, and in this book we have the view that it is obligatory, it is possible that he changed his view from obligation to mustahab. And that's the view of the Jumhur. The large majority of the ulama, if you now ask, dua al-istiftah, what it is ruling, you say, what sunnah? Dua al-istiftah, what it is ruling? Sunnah. That when we say Allahu Akbar, and then we fold our arms in salah, as we have described, what is the next thing that we will do? Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, dua al-istiftah, anyone. There are about 9 of them that have been reported to be authentic. 9 ways. It's possible you find more. It's possible you find more with authentic chains. But I have seen 9. So 9 ways. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik wa tabaraka is the most common. So the ulama say it is mustahab. So if you now ask, what then is the hadith? How does it become from wujub to istihbab? Because the basic ruling about an order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that his order implies an obligation. It is this hadith of Abu Huraira with which we started this discourse. So we have gone back to that hadith. We mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira when we wanted to start discussing istiftah. Before we went away, I returned. In that hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iza kabbara fi salati, sakata hunayyata. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان إذا كبر في الصلاة. He would, when he makes takbir, Allahu Akbar, while observing the salah. Sakata hunayyata. He will, for some time, keep silent after saying Allahu Akbar. After takbiratul ihram, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain silent for some time. And we were saying that this hadith is one evidence that sometimes they used to look at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama said, how did he know? And then he noticed that the messenger would, like Imam Ibn Daqiq in al-Eid said, his jaws will move. He's saying something. Although he was silent, but he's saying something. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, إذا كبر في الصلاة سكت هنية قبل أن يقرأ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made the takbir, he would be quiet for a little while, قبل أن يقرأ, before he begins to make his recitation. علماء say, وهذا في الصلاة الجهرية. This would occur in the salawat, of course, when he read loudly. So he said, فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, so I asked him, I said, O Messenger of Allah, bi abi alayhi salatu wa salam, bi abi anta wa ummi, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Abu Huraira said that to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. And we know Abu Huraira loved his mother radiallahu anhu. We know the story of how his mother accepted Islam. So as beloved as his mother was, he said, may my mother be sacrificed for you and my father, O Messenger of Allah. Ulama say this is one evidence that if you want to ask somebody a question, something about which you really want him to explain to you, ask in a nice manner, as Abu Huraira has asked, Messenger of Allah, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Then he asked him the question. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَرَأَيْتَ سُكُوتَكَ بَيْنَ التَّكْبِيرِ وَالْكِرَاءَةِ. What do you do? What do you be? How is it? As sukut, that you will be silent. بَيْنَ التَّكْبِيرِ وَالْكِرَاءَةِ. Between Allahu Akbar and your reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. He used to be silent. So he asked him, alayhi salatu, Mada taqul, Mada qul, what do you say at this time? Qala, the messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aqul, I would say, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, kama ba'atta bayna al-maghribi wal-mashrik, kama ba'atta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. And then he will continue and say, Allahumma, نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالثلج والماء والبرد. This is the رواية of Bukhari. نقص الإمام مسلم to start with الماء بالماء والثلج والبرد. So the Prophet told him صلى الله عليه وسلم, what I will say, اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقني من خطاياي. او الله, باعد بيني وبين خطاياي, separate from me, distance between myself وبين خطاياي and my sins, كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب, as you have distance the east from the west, or if you have distance between the east and the west. Allahumma naqini min khatayaya. Oh Allah, naqini min khatayaya. Oh Allah, purify me min khatayaya. Away or off my sins. Kama yunakka thawbul abiyad min ad-dana. As the white cloth is purified from death. Ulama say, because each time you find a white cloth that becomes stained, the natural thing with everybody is that you want to remove the stain. If it were on another color, like the one Abu Aisha is wearing now, the individual will say, oh, the cloth will accept it. But once it is white, you quickly want to remove it. And then the fact of it being different from the real color of the cloth becomes so apparent. So that's why the white cloth is used. As it is done, the common thing is that the people don't want stains on white clothes. Mina dana. Away from that. Then he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma gsirni min khatayaya bil ma'i wa salji wal barad. Oh Allah, cleanse me, wash me off, away my sins, from my sins. Bil ma'i, with water. Was sludge and ice. You know ice, when it rains, or in the polar regions that is cold, and then you have ice. Wal barad, dew, iri, or hay, if you like. So these are the forms of water. The ice, ordinary water, and then hay. You may have also in the condensed form. But ulama say all of these go to insist to say, wallah, wash me clean, wash me clean, wash me clean of my sins. The point before we veered off into explaining this hadith was, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama say if du'a al-istiftah were compulsory, it would have been something that Abu Huraira would have been doing ordinarily. Because he was praying. And the Prophet was not the one who said, now you must be doing du'a al-istiftah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was praying. He was observing the salah. He was most likely not making du'a al-istiftah. But he was observing that the Prophet was doing something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing something in that salah. They were not doing. If it were that the salah was incomplete without du'a al-istiftah, it would not have been that Abu Huraira has to ask. It would have been something that he would have been commanding them to do ordinarily without they asking. Would it have meant that the salah that he was performing behind him, alayhi salatu wasalam, then we are incomplete salah or imperfect salah until he asks, what do you say between at-takbir and the time that you begin to recite during salah? So this is the hadith over which the ulama say, it means the command that he gave the one who prayed badly was a command of recommendation. It was not a command of obligation. It's a command, it's something that he's encouraged to do. It's not a thing that if he did not do it, then the salah is either invalid, such that we may say that it's a rukun, or that the salah is imperfect from the aspect that the person has left an obligation, meaning that he will be sinning even while performing salah. So that this hadith of Abu Huraira, who was not making it, radiallahu anhu, before he went to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the such. It pushes away the matter from an obligation into something that is only encouraged, mustahab. I hope this point is clear. So if somebody says, oh, but the messenger commanded him in the hadith of the one who prayed badly. Say, oh, in the hadith of Abu Huraira was the one who had to ask. If it were obligatory, it would not be something that he would have to ask. It would be something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been commanding them to do ordinarily in salah. I hope that this point is clear. Sheikh Bazmul himself mentioned this in his sharh of Sifat Salat al-Nabi. Others amongst the ulama have mentioned it that du'a al-istiftah itself, the position of the jumhur, the large majority of the ulama, is that it is mustahab. There is another view that, regarding these two hadiths, the hadith of the one who prayed badly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam commanded him to make du'a al-istiftah, and the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, regarding what do you say between takbir and al-qira'a. But as I sit now, I wouldn't remember who has that view. It was said that the duality of tie itself is wajib, but the siga is mustahab. To make the dua is an obligation, in line with the hadith of the one who prayed badly. But to employ any of those expressions, that the question of Abu Huraira was about which expression, what are you saying? So that he perhaps may say it was not about the shari'ah of dual istiftah. I hope that this point is clear. A safer thing for us to do without any gumud is to stay with the view of the jumhur, to say that dual istiftah is not obligatory. It is rather from the sunan of salah. It is from the mandubat of salah. It is mandub in salah to make any of these adiyah. Now we've mentioned two to us. The first is this in the hadith of Abu Huraira. Fortunately or unfortunately, one of the scholars was saying that it is one of the least recited and it is the most authentic. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. Allahumma nakkini min al-khataya kama yunakka al-sawb al-abyad min al-danas. Allahumma ghsilni bil ma'i wa salji wal barat. It is the most authentic hadith regarding dua al-istiftah. So if you ask, which is the most correct for dua al-istiftah, hadith of Abu Huraira. Allahumma ba'id bayni, Hafiz ibn Hajar mentioned it in Al-Fath and others. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. اللهم نقني من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس اللهم اغسلني بالماء والثلج والبرد. This dua is the way to commence the salah after takbir. Allahu akbar. Somebody can come to imam kila ma wi gana ngbate ba dake o ke to wa ma so ke alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Did ask the prophet too, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the simple thing you need to do is to teach the person this dhikr. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. Allahumma naqqini min al-khataya kama yunqqa al-thawb al-abyad min al-danas. Allahumma ighsilni bil-ma'i wal-thalji wal-barad. This is the most correct siga for dua al-istiftah or for the adhiyatul iftitah in salah. And then others, the ulama mentioned the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu and the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. I'll encourage us, in the hadith of Umar, we already heard it, that he would say, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, wa tabarak asmuk, wa ta'ala jadduk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. This is what we are commonly used to do. Many of the people usually do this, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ. Oh Allah, Subhanak. You are free from all imperfections. Subhanak. Oh Allah, glory be to you. You are free from all imperfections. وَبِحَمْدِكَ. Likewise, all praise belong to you alone. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ. Your names are blessed. You would say, I say names, but he said it's smoke. You know it's al-mufradul mudaf. Ta'um. So تَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ. Your names, the entirety of your names are blessed. They are lofty. وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ. جَدُّ هُنَا. Azamatuka, your magnificence, your mightiness, Ta'ala is exalted. You are of an exalted magnificence. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there is no one that deserves worship ghayruka except you, Subhan. So you would see these expressions carry the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of the one who prayed badly. Because the Prophet told him to praise Allah and make them jid. This is Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Tabarak asmuk. Wa ta'ala jadduk. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. So this is what to say in salah. There are others. I'll encourage us to get Hisnul Muslim. Hisnul Muslim. Because it contains these adhkar in different forms. We only mentioned two now. I would have wanted us to mention the third one. But this is mention of him regarding Qiyamul Layl. Allahumma Rabba Jibreel wa Mikael Israfil. Fatir al-Samawat wal-Ard. عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك وأنت تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. This is another form of making dua al-istiftah. These kinds of classes are to remind us. If you have been doing it before, you will know better now what you do. If you have not been doing it before, get, like I said, Hisnul Muslim or any of such books with those adhkars. Learn them. Pick at least three. Because the sunnah regarding them, let's come back to that. Adhiyatul istiftah. Is it allowed to read more than one in a salah? Like you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. Allahumma nakkini min al-khataya, kama yunakka sawbu al-abiyadu min al-danas. Allahumma gfilni bil-ma'i wa saldi wal-barad. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, wa tabarak asmu, ulama sayinu. Because all of these were reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In separate reports, one will say, I hear him say this. The other will say, I heard him say that. The other will say, I heard him say that. So you should say this and that too. Not this and that together. If he had said them together, it would have been reported of him. Alayhi salatu. And that was not reported of him. So do as it was reported of him. Sometimes he will do this. At another time, he will do what? That. At another time, he will do another one. He said this is the correct thing to do. Even though that if a person does two together, they say he has no basis for it. No basis. So don't do something without a basis. Do the one that has a basis. If reciting one has basis, recite the one. And then when you come in the next salah, recite another one. When you come in the next salah, recite another one. If you ask me, what will an individual gain from changing the recitation? Two things at least he will gain. The first one is ittiba. He would have been following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing he will gain is that it will help him have khushu in salah. Because you are conscious, which one did I read in Zuhur? It means in Zuhur you were not oblivious of your salah. You were conscious in that salah. So in this after two, you want to be conscious. I read Ba'id Bayni wa Bayna Khatayaya in Zuhur. This one I want to read Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. So you perform that salah out of consciousness. Okay. If the person comes to the salah and then the imam has started reciting, but the individual recites or that the person himself starts the salah, he forgot, and then he starts Surah Al-Fatiha, can he go back to Dua al-Istiftah? Ulama say no, he can't go back to Dua al-Istiftah. Because from the hadith of Abu Huraira that we have heard, the place for Abu Huraira, the place for Dua al-Istiftah is where? Bain al-takbir wal-kira. So once you start kira, you are passing. Just continue. What if the person comes to the salah and the imam has started salah? Perhaps he's already in the surah. Some among the ulama say he should quickly say dua al-istiftah. Because he is starting his own salah. That takbir is you are starting your own salah. So you should start the salah normally. Except if that kind of a commencement will make you miss from the wajibat of salah. If it will make you miss it. Or from some of the sunan al-mu'akkada in salah. Like say ta'min, ameen. We'll come back to that. So if Allahumma bayni wa bayna abayt bayni wa bayna khatayaya, you are reciting it. And then the imam finishes, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. You are still saying bayni wa bayna khatayaya. It is not correct. Another thing that it will make you miss is Surah Al-Fatiha. Because Allah sahih, Surah Al-Fatiha is ruknun min arkan al-salah. We'll complete, inshallah, perhaps in our next class. Surah Al-Fatiha is ruknun min arkan al-salah. The one who does not read it does not have salah. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La salata liman lam yakra bi fatihat al-kitab. The hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit in Sahih Muslim. There are other things around it. We'll discuss them as much as Allah wills. But this hadith, inshallah, but this hadith is upon its zahir. The list of are those who say it is wajib. Surah Al-Fatiha, wajibah, they say. So if you are busy, we are not discussing the ruling of Surah Al-Fatiha now. But we are talking about somebody who is busy with Dua al-Istiftah. And then instead of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he's still busy with Dua al-Istiftah until the Imam goes on ruku. He's leaving something that is obligatory. He's getting busy with something that is mandub, and he's leaving out something that is obligatory. So in that kind of a circumstance, the individual should rather recite Surah al-Fatiha instead of getting busy with Dua al-Istiftah. I hope that this point is clear, inshallah. So this is with regards to Dua al-Istiftah. And it has different expressions, different formulas, like we explained to us. So the individual says, Allahu Akbar, and then he starts the salah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. The hadith of Abu Huraira. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna qatayaya. Kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. And he goes on. After he finishes, what is the next thing that he will do? The next thing that he will do is to say, A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi. He should say, A'udhu billahi sami. If he leaves out Sami'ul Alim, he has riwayat. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi. If he adds Sami'ul Alim, better. Let us learn it. Ba'ashikomashintaja. The way we have learned how they said, the way we have memorized mathematical formulas, engineers, statistical equations. Learn it too. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi. He will say that. Ulama say it is wajib. Alif the azatu wajibatu. So count it. Takbiratul ihram itself is what? Ruknu min arkan salah. Ko? Raful yadain inda takbir is what? Sunnah. Al qabdu is what? Sunnah. Ko? After that, dua al-istiftah is what? Sunnah. After that, istiaza. Ko? Istiaza is what? Wajibah. In salah. This is the view of Al-Imam Ibn Hazm al-Andalus and others. They say that to say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi, that it is wajiba in salah. So ulama would ask, he would ask, what is the proof? One verse of the Quran. Wa idha quri'a al-Quran fa'istaeen billahi min ash-shaytan. When the Quran, وَإِذَا قَرَعْتَ الْقُرْآنِ when you recite the Quran, so you must make istiada. فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. So that's why some of the ulama say it is allowed to say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Ulama say no. It is true that it says فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Quran, he gave us the command. It is from this command that obligation is derived. فاستعذ بالله. You should seek refuge with Allah. من الشيطان. Against the shaitan. الرجيم. The accursed person. So ulama say, it is not correct to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Two reasons. The first reason is that when Allah gave us the command to say, make istiaza, He said, make istiaza min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, against the shaytan ar-rajim. Has He told you how to say it? He says, make istiaza min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. What is the siga? Like He told the one who prayed badly, praise Allah and glorify Him. Who told us how to do that praise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if Allah has said, make istiaza, who will tell us how to make that istiaza? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say it is not reported from him with any authentic chain that he will say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim in salah. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani has mentioned this in his Asl of Sifat Salatina. So there's no riwayah, there's no authentic report that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes al-isti'aza in salah, he will say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, like this. No. What you will find is what? A'udhu billahi s-sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafkhihi. Glory. Ulama say that's no report. So those who say we can say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, they rely on a general situation. That's order in the Quran. But that order is an order that requires that the messenger explains to you how to say it. I hope that this point is clear. Allah told us in the Quran, Akimu salah. Who told us how to perform that salah? So when he says, Fasta'iz billah, who will tell us how to make this the other? This is the basis of their discourse. That we should say, as he has taught us to say in Salah. More so, Salah is an event, is an act of worship that we will only say in it what we are allowed to say. We will only do in it what we are allowed to do. He didn't say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. He rather said, A'udhu billahi s-sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafkhihi. So that is what we should say. And he said that the ruling of that isti'aza is what? Wujud. And isti'aza is wajiba in salah. This is the most correct. Yes, there are views that it is mustahab. But the clearer thing, inshallah, is that Al-Isti'aza in Salat is Mustahab. The next thing is to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's also an area of difference here. I would like to take the issue of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with Surah Al-Fatiha. I would like to take Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are those amongst the ulama who say the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha. That Surah Al-Fatiha starts with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. One of them is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his Sifat Salat al-Nabi. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if you don't say, there is no problem. Just carry on with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Others amongst the ulama say, if you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, your Fatiha is faulty. Your Fatiha is faulty. And if a rukun is faulty, the salah is faulty. So you can see that it is a serious issue. What is the position of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fatiha? Is it an ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha? I'm not saying, is it an ayah of the Quran elsewhere? No. In Surah Al-Fatiha, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim an ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha? Such that if the individual fails to read it in salah, his Surah Al-Fatiha is incomplete, is it? Or it is something that we recite as, because the Messenger ﷺ will always start chapters of the Quran by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, such that it will only be encouraged in that circumstance to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah, we'll revisit this issue. We will start with this in our next class. Inshallah. What is the ruling of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fatiha? What is its ruling? And what is the ruling of Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah? Is it from the Arkan of Salah? Is it from the Wajibat of Salah? This issue of Surah Al-Fatiha is a big issue amongst ulama. And a lot of books have been written, not today, long ago. Reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, what is the ruling of Fatiha in Salah? So perhaps, inshallah, we'll discuss this in our next class. Inshallah. But as it stands, inshallah, we only have 15 minutes more before our hour completes. So we'll employ that. I never knew we'd even be able to go this far. The mind was far away. But alhamdulillah. So inshallah, let us take more questions. In the last class, we stopped it because we didn't have the time. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Now. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Ihram, as we saw in this hadith of Abu Huraira. Now, is it Ghayr al-Maghdoob alayhi wa al-Dhalin? You make the second silence? Because after Ghayr al-Maghdoob alayhi wa al-Dhalin, he himself will say Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will say Ameen. The Imam himself is required to say Ameen. In fact, we all must not start our Ta'ameen before the Imam. Ah, God has Ameen, Imam also Sami. Ah, God has Ameen, Mati Imam Baki Fatihata. We must not say Ameen until the Imam starts to say his Ameen. So there is no silence there. The silence I think you are referring to is the one after reciting a surah before he goes on ruku. This is what is in my mind now. Somebody remember something? Is it after Surah Al-Fatiha or after surah? This is what I remember now. But when we get there, we'll clarify it. Don't worry about that. Inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. You've not asked the question. You are clear with the first one. We will come to that in our next class. If the Imam is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha aloud, the rest of us performing the Salah behind the Imam, what do we do? Do we go silent listening to the Imam? There are views like that. Some of the ulama have that view. And they quote a hadith. They say the one who performs the salah behind the imam, فَقِرَاءَةُ imam, lahu kira'a. The reading of the imam is his own reading too. So whatever the imam reads is for him too. So ulama say no, whatever he reads in surah, not fatiha. Whatever the Imam reads of the surah, not whatever he reads, including the Fatiha. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given everybody performing the salah instruction that la salata liman to anyone. So if you say faqira'atul imam lahu qira'a, it is not involving this one because that individual has the direct command to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So there are these views. The way Allah permits us, we will try to look at them, inshallah, in our next class. The ruling of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's usually an issue of Al-Akhs and Al-Rad amongst ulama. One of the scholars wrote a book of over 450 pages on this issue. Tahqiqul Kalam. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Mubarak Furi. 400 pages, over 400. أن الإمام بيحكي هذا بوك توانيت، الإمام البخاري هذا بوك توانيت، شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية هذا بوك توانيت. So it's an issue that has been widely differed upon. The issue of Surah Al-Fatiha. We'll mention as much as Allah permits what they have said, and what they have also said is more authentic. So your question is that what will those people behind the Imam say when the Imam is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? We will attend to it in our next class, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam.
You mentioned that Hadith Ta'ala is what if I'm really following
Oh, he didn't ask him some questions. He asked him only a single question. Say, what do you say when you keep silent after takbir? And he says, he told him what he says. It does not mean that he was not saying making isti'adha. Because, yes, the reason he's asking that question is that isti'adha and al-basmala are both made silently. So, but they are not in the hadith of Abu Huraira. It does not mean that he was not doing them, because we have other reports that makes us understand that he was doing them. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen. At least the Adam, should it be done on every rak'ah? The correct thing is that it should be done every rak'ah. At least the Adam should be done in every rak'ah. Because he told him to do what he did in the second rak'ah. In the first rak'ah, he should do everything in the second rak'ah. So the second rak'ah is like a photocopy of the first rak'ah, except for dua al-istiftah. Because that one is done to open the salah, and the salah is not open twice. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. Amin. You say what? Someone joins the salah. Somebody joins the salah. The imam has finished reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Should that person also recite Surah Al-Fatiha? I'll give you a tentative answer. Yes. He should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. If you now ask me for the proof, we'll discuss it next class, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Amin. Amin. Dua al-istiftah in Salat al-Janaza. Some of the ulama say no, we should not recite it in Salat al-Janaza. Others say yes, because Salat al-Janaza is also Salah. That is what I do. Salat al-Janaza is Salah. It only has its own sifa. It has its own attributes, different from the normal Salah. But it is Salah. So the basic things we do in Salah are those things we do, except as otherwise stated. Allahu Alam. This is the view of Al-Imam al-Albani, if I'm not making a mistake. Long ago in Ahkam al-Janaiz, I think that's what he said. But Sheikh Abdulaziz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and others, Sheikh Abdulaziz, of Turaisi and others, they say no, make istiftah alone in salawah, whether it is nawafil or obligatory. But salat al-janaza, no. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum as-salam. Okay, go on, kabbir. There's no blame, inshallah. Amin. Alaykum salam. Amin. If a person is performing salah, and he makes a mistake in salah, what kind of sajda will he make? It depends on the type of mistake. there are some mistakes in salah. You can't do just the sajda alone. Like if a person fails to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in salah, he will go back to that rak'ah. I think that rak'ah did not exist. He will go back to it. Then at the end of his salah, he can make his sajda in one of two ways. Either before he ends the salah, two sajda, or after the salah, two sajda. But he must repeat that rak'ah so that it will look as if it's a four-unit prayer, it will look as if he has prayed it as a five. But it is four, but because the first one is invalid. So there are some mistakes like that. He will make you repeat the action, or if somebody leaves a sajda after the first rak'ah, or during the first rak'ah, he makes the first sajda, he sits down. Instead of making the second sajda, he stands up. When he remembers, he will come back to make the second sajda and start the second rak'ah again. After the salah, the end of the salah, he can make sajda to sahwi imma before or after the taslim. He will make sajda two times. And then he will sit down without making tahiyya to taslim. In the sujood, what will he say? I don't know what he will say. The messenger didn't tell us what he should say in sujood. The same way he didn't tell him to make tahiyya. Alaykum as-salam. Now. Since what? It says we can see anyone of which ones? These verses are umumat. These verses are general statements regarding istiaza. The matter of salah is a particular matter in which if you want to do something inside it, you ask how you do it from the statements of the Prophet Muhammad and from the actions of the Prophet Muhammad. Let's take an example from the answer we were giving. The hadith that says that it's in Sunan al-Nasa'i that the Messenger alayhi salam, Ibn Hajar mentioned it in Bulugh al-Maram, that when the messenger sits down for tahiyya after making the sajda to sahwi of two sajdas, he will make tahiyya again. This hadith is weak, munkar hadith. So ulama say if you don't find evidence that he will repeat tashahud or tahiyya again, you don't find evidence. It means when you see that he makes a sleep. Because you don't find evidence. And everything is salah must have its own evidence. The salah itself, is al-aqwal wal-af'al. There are some actions, there are statements, al-mansusatu anha. There are nusus that say, do it like this. Do it like this. So this general text of, if you read the Quran, says they will not suffice for salah. In salah, whatever you are commanded, general statement, you'll be asking, inside salah, how do I do this one? Because salah is different from every other statement and action. Salah is different from every other adhkar that we make. So it has its own way of everything. So if the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't tell us, do it like this, then in that sense, we'll be looking for general text. But when he tells us, do it like this, we can only do it as he has said that we should do it. I hope that this point is clear, inshallah. Yes, there are those who said, so I think I mentioned that some of the ulama say we can say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Didn't I mention it? One of those who said that, the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al Uthaymeen, and others. But the better, correct view is that we should say only what the Prophet has taught, alayhi salam. If it was correct to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, alone, like this, it would have been reported from him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In salah, don't forget. In salah. In salah. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum salam. Amin wa antum. Alayhi salam. Yeah, those ones that were reported that he made in Qiyamul Layl, the other Iyatul Istiftah, we can even make them an even obligatory salah. It means that it is allowed in salah. So you can make them in other nawafil, you can make them in even some obligatory salah, inshallah. Alaykum salam. So do what? Don't ask about Surah Al-Fatiha until next class. If we give you an answer, it will be a tentative answer. But ask it. He does not have. Someone joins the Imam while the Imam is on Rukur. At that time, Surah Al-Fatiha has gone. And we are prohibited from reciting the Quran in Rukur and Sujood. So what will he do? He will not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and he has Raka. So you say, does that not contradict the fact that Surah Al-Fatiha is Rukun min Arkani Salah? Ulama say it does not contradict it. You say, why did he not contradict it? You say, because La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. The time for reciting Fatiha has gone out of his blade. But he told him that if he meets the Imam in Ruku, he has a Raka. So why are you asking him about something that he has missed? He has missed it. And he was told that if you meet the Imam in Ruku, you have the Raka. And he has met the Imam in Ruku. So don't ask him about Surah Al-Fatiha, because the place for Fatiha has gone. However, people like Al-Imam al-Shawkani, because of this argument, he says that that person does not have a Raka. In Nailul Awtar. That anyone who fails for whatever reason to recite Surah Al-Fatiha must repeat that Raka. But the other report about meeting the Salah in Ruku and being ruled to have met the Salah shows that that view is a weak view. I hope that the point is clear. Alaykum salam. Amen. The place where istiftah has gone. If he will not say it when the Imam is reciting a surah or reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, why should he say it when it is ruku? He should not recite istiftah. The place for istiftah is between takbir and what? Qira'ah. He has missed Qira'ah. So the place for it has gone. He's on ruku now. I mean, for what? You can hear what you say. Yes. The rest of the takbirat, we say them to our head. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Everybody is saying his name. Not only the muballig and the imam. The imam will say Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. The rest of the people keep quiet. Everybody should be saying it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, "Bittifaq ahli al-ilm." When the people are all hearing the imam, he says it's an innovation. The scholars are agreed that it's an innovation for somebody to be making tabligh behind the imam when everybody is already hearing what the imam is saying. Don't say they are doing so in Mecca. I've not been telling you that what they did in Mecca is the proof. We have been mentioning ahadith and verses of the Quran. And those verses and ahadith are applicable to all the parts of the world. So don't say, oh, because they do it in Mecca, that is proof. No, the proof is in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. So the ulama are agreed. When we hear the voice of the imam, it is wrong for somebody else to say, Allahu Akbar behind the imam. So these kind of things lead to the some of the people reciting their own takbirah silently. And it is wrong. Some people don't even read it at all. It makes some of the people don't recite at all. They will just be following the muazzin. And it does not make them look at the imam. You will have seen now that from the sunnah of the companions, رضي الله عنه, was that they used to do what? They used to look at the Prophet Muhammad. It's also one of the indications that the imam should not stay inside one kolo. We will not be able to see him because we want to be seeing the imam. The imam should be seen. Everybody should be looking at the imam. So why is Araka Afarkawu? Why is Akala Sabi Allahu Liman Hamida? Fakulu, all of you, look at what he said. All of you should say what? Rabbana lakal hamd. But who is saying Rabbana lakal hamd now? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Everybody is keeping quiet. No. Everybody will be saying everything in salah. The imam is saying, you are saying your own. Because the imam is praying his own. You are praying your own. So let's all pay. Everybody will pay attention to the salah. The things that imam will do, we will not do. Are very few in salah. Very few. Very few. So let everybody pay attention in salah. Now, barista. Alaykum salam. Now. There your hand has gone above your shoulder. Aha. It's part of it, Yoko. Stood up. He has missed the rak'ah. Somebody stands to make the takbiratul ihram while the imam is on the ruku'. Allahu Akbar. Before he goes to join the imam, the imam stands up from ruku. He has missed the rak'ah. Meeting the rak'ah is predicated on meeting the imam on the ruku. There's khilaf about the authenticity of this hadith, but the least ruling on it is that it is hasan. We'll come back to them, inshallah. Go on, I'm listening to you. We explained this matter while we were discussing the shurutu salah. We discussed awratul mar'a fis salah. Those areas that are compulsory for a woman to cover in salah. And when we mention the feet, we say it is the half of the feet. If you look at that feet, your leg is divided into two, up and down. Down is white, up is darker brown. Her cloth must be covering all of that. Zuhurul Qadam, the upper part of her feet. If you see a line, look at it. Your leg. Your question is about the feet now. There is a line there. I think we discussed this matter on Shurutu Salah. So her clothes must be covering all of that. If it is covering the entirety of it, better for her. Her feet. Love her. There's a question here. Okay. Alaykum Salam. This question is not about Salah, but it's something that comes repeatedly, so I just like to mention a brief thing regarding it. So we'll make it our last question for the day, inshallah. And I think it has come from a woman. Now, an amputee, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Amputee doesn't have a hand. How will he fold the hand? If he has only one, he will fold that, put that one on his chest. Because as darura to cut down the qadari. If it was the left hand, put that left hand. If it is the right, put only that right. If he does not have anyone, just stand like that. If he was doing it before the hands got cut off, he will be getting the reward that the two hands are covered on the chest. If he was doing it before, his rewards will continue. If he was not doing it before, he now learned that he should do it. He now wished that if his hands were not cut, he would like to do it. He will be having reward for good intentions. I don't know all the versions in my mind. It is correct. Yes. I mean, did you hear his question? That figure is correct. I was running away. I thought he would bring one figure that. It's correct. الله أكبر كبيرة والحمد لله كثيرة وسبحان الله بكرة واسيلة. It's also correct. There are others too. Now, this question says, please sir, my husband has three wives. He bought things for two and their children, and I asked for my share. He now said I'm a jealous woman. Please, is that just? Because he told me that sharing between two out of three is not justice. Please, may Allah preserve you, enlighten us. Many times when women ask questions like this, I know that this thing is more than this. He bought for, how is it reasonable? A man has three wives, he bought for A and B. He left C. So when she said, where is my, I say, no, it's justice. I've done justice. I will not die for you. No man will do this. Except somebody who deliberately intends to be a cheat somehow. It's clear. But it is not something that a man who has been matured enough to be able to keep three wives will do. Did you mark those expressions? It's not an easy thing to keep three wives. It's not an easy thing to keep one wife. One wife. And that's the reason why there are positions people don't get to when they don't have a wife. Do you know that? A person cannot be a president if he does not have a wife. You don't know? Even those who play football, there are football clubs you can't play until you have a wife. Because it is thought that having a wife has some sense. Your mental state, your state of your mind is not like the state of one brother just cooking rice and beans for himself. They are completely different people. So when the man now has a wife, one, because some of the brothers, one, somebody told me once, that even the one wife, they are still battling with it. It's not wrong. It's not an easy thing to deal with a woman. The Quran says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Relate with women in a nice manner. It's one of the tests of the faith and the sunnah of a man. How are you with your wives? He said, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. Look at this Muftada and Khabar. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you is who? the best of you to his family. The best of you is who? The best of you to his wife. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I'm the best of you amongst those who deal with their wife. I deal with my wife best. It means you're dealing with your wife. It's from amongst the things we know whether you are good or bad or best. Or bad or worse. What? So a man now has a wife and I think so he takes another wife. It's a big issue. If you have two wives, I praise you a lot. It's not an easy thing to do. And that's why one of the things that those men need is dua from those wives. Oh Allah, guide our husband. I tell you, unfortunately, women don't think about that. Most of them. If your husband marries a second wife, start praying for him if you love him truly. But the way you want to show your love for him is that he stay long there. I don't know. Pray for him that Allah should guide him. Pray for him Allah should give him intelligence. All that is required for him to be fair to the two of you. Be praying for him. Because if it's fair to the two of you, it's for the betterment of the two of you. I always tell women, don't relate with your husband vis-a-vis how he is relating with your wife, another wife, a co-wife in the house. No. You do your own relationship, create your own relationship and do well. Don't say, oh, yesterday, when you enter that room, you are smiling, you know. Today, when you enter this room now, you do your face like soldier. That man, the salary might have been increased yesterday. So he was smiling. The following day, he might have received a query from office. Will he smile again? So why do you hold him for what is not, he's not capable? Are you helping him or you are giving him problems? You're giving him problems. You're giving the man problems. Many times, polygyny does not work because of the women. They are the ones who don't make it work. Many times. Many times. It will not work because of them. So, if a man has two wives, be begging Allah for him. Allah guide him. Oh Allah protect him. Oh Allah provide for him. Oh Allah give him strength. But many times people don't think about this. Now he has a third wife. So it's not an easy thing. Pray for him, beg Allah to guide him. Many times, brother, we shall be inshallah, inshallah, when you talk about things like this. But it's not as easy as it is said. If you ask brothers who have 2-3 wives and they tell you that, you will know that it is not inshallah, mashallah. May Allah protect us. So, this question, I don't think it's a balanced question. I don't think it's a balanced question. But in case a man has done that, it should be fair and do the next what is appropriate to the other woman too. He bought soap, lost. There are 3 of them. He bought 2. He gave one, another one. You are remaining, he's remaining 1. Maybe he has an excuse that the money was not sufficient. In that case, you can go to her. Umu, you are the one that is remaining. Please, the patient is end of the month. When they pay the salary, inshallah, I will buy your own. Be nice. Sometimes not communicating your mind, break itself is the problem. So you give her, tell her, be patient. Please, be patient. Bismillah, I only have money for 2 now. Inshallah, I will buy your own 2. But I can tell you, if you buy 2 and there are 3, how do you share the 2? I can tell you that one. I can borrow you my own experience. If you only have money for 2 and there are 3, put the 2 in nylon bag and the 3rd one with stone. Wrap it. Put them on the ground. Tell everybody to come and choose.